Hour number two of the program here. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until the top of next hour when the Corky Kell Classic comes your way with Sam Crenshaw and the coach. But the story of the day that we are talking about is Michael Penix Jr. and his ability to continue to show growth and leadership. This time in a little bit of an unconventional way, he was involved in a scuffle, a skirmish. A Donnybrook. How many different ways can I say this? There was a fight at practice today involving QB1, and he was in the center of it. Words were said that shouldn't have been said, and he responded in kind. And the team had his back, and hopefully this is the last we see of that, but it was day two of joint practices, so you have to expect that tempers are going to flare a little bit, and they did. And QB1 was interviewed after today, and he was talking about how great it was to see that his teammates had his back when they needed him most.
It's great, you know, to know that, you know, I got people that's behind me, got my back, and it's going to be there no matter what. Yeah, and a lot of guys came up and checked up on me because they saw I was at the bottom of the pile, and they just make sure I was good. And, you know, I was like, I'm good, like, let's practice. But it's great to know that I got people that got my back.
Yeah, again, we don't ever want to see you at the bottom of another pile. Hopefully not for the rest of the season. Inevitably, it will happen. That's just the nature of football. But hopefully those things are few and far between. Michael Penix Jr. was also talking about the state of his various weapons on offense and all these different guys that we've been talking about. You'll hear from one of them coming up in just a minute, and Chris Blair, that he has to get the rock to.
It's been great. A lot of guys are competing at a high level. Obviously, Drake, he does what he does each and every day. Like he's talked about Casey, you know, stepping up, and he's been great for us all camp. You know, he's been showing a lot of great things, you know, on tape. And, you know, and that's just building that, me and him building that trust together so that whenever game week comes and he is out there on that field, you know we're going to be on the same page. Obviously, Mooney, you know, we'll have him back coming up in the season. I feel like he should be back week one. I'm not sure as far as that. I'm not going to talk too much about that. But he's been doing good with his recovery and stuff like that. So we definitely know we have him as well, and he's going to be a big-time playmaker for us. And Ray and Kyle, they've been consistent this camp. And it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see. Bijan and Tyler, every day, consistent, same person. You know what you're going to get. And it's been great.
Wait a minute. Oren, did Michael Penix Jr. just pull a Kirk and say something that he wasn't supposed to say? He thinks he should be back for week one.
Obviously, Mooney, you know, we'll have him back coming up in the season. I feel like he should be back week one. Sure as far as that. I'm not going to talk too much about that. But
okay. All right, QB1.
He just talked a whole lot about it, though, QB1.
Yeah, you really did. You learned from the best there in doing that by accident, Kirk Cousins. And to finish up here before we hear from Chris Blair, how about Mooney when he gets back? It's going to be just like riding a bike, right?
No, not much worry because we spent off season, you know, working together. We spent the off season working together. We took a QB receiver trip out to Cali this off season. You know, spent some time with each other. You know, try to get that chemistry down. So I know whenever he come back, I know how he run his routes. You know, he knows where I like to put the ball, and we'll be good. I'm not really worried about that because he gonna get open. I just gotta get him the ball, and you know, I feel like I know I'm gonna be able to do that. So.
Yeah, if this was someone like a Casey Washington or a Chris Blair or a David Sills, young guys that might make the team and they start to miss some time, then maybe, you know, because every rep is so valuable. But at the end of the day, Darnell Mooney is a vet. He's a pro. He knows how to run his routes and he knows how to catch the rock from QB number one. All right, what about Chris Blair? Is he going to make this team? He chatted with Dukes and Bell today, and this is what he had to say about it.
All right, so today, last day of this joint practice with the Titans, we're with Chris Blair, and it looked like, man, things got a little chippy out there. I don't know if you were involved in that, but talk about that, because Mike and I were saying this yesterday on the show. The second day, you know, guys maybe trying to get back some energy.
Yeah, I think the intensity was high, and guys were flying around. We got very competitive. I feel like Tuesday we had a very good practice versus them, and I feel like they wanted to come out for some Avengers today, so... they tried to come full force, and we did the same. So, yeah, it got a little rowdy out there, but I think we still ended up having a productive practice.
heard the wide receiver coach saying, CB, you know, got your back. Yeah. Big competition, but big opportunity for you, man. Your third year with the team and with Darnell on the sidelines. How are you feeling about your effort this camp?
I feel like everything is going well. Just taking advantage of all my opportunities that I'm getting. Just trying to make the most of them for real, knowing all my alignments and assignments, and just being in the right spot at the right time and gaining trust with my quarterback. So everything is working out pretty well.
I always say the preseason matters because of the work. And you ended up getting a touchdown in the first preseason game. Talk about that play and getting open and your route running and how that's developed for you.
Absolutely. I think Ike Hilliard and KJ Black and the rest of the guys have done a great job of honing in on our details as far as running routes and getting open and the little things that we need to do to gain that separation. And I got that opportunity to put some things like that on tape, just gain the separation. And that's what happened on the touchdown. I knew I had a chance to make a play up top. And the main thing, I just wanted my quarterback to know I was going to win. So as long as he know that and he was going to give me a chance, I knew I had to come down with the ball.
Number 19, Chris Blair with us, guys, on Dukes and Bell. How's Penix looking, man, now that he has got the leadership role, which he really embraces? The team's got his back, it looks like.
Absolutely, yeah. We're riding with him for sure. He's coming out every day. He's making plays. He's got that swag that you want to see in the quarterback. Every time he makes a big throw or something like that, he just kind of gives us this look. We already know that he's on. He's ready. But, yeah, man, he's balling. He's taking command of the huddle. Everybody trusts him, and he got everybody trust. So that's the main thing. Like, long as the team believes in them, I think we're going to work out well.
You are also possibly and probably playing a lot of special teams. Talk about that as well, because any way you can contribute to make the team is what it's about. Obviously, you want to be a wide receiver, you want to be on offense, but the special teams aspect may play a role in that.
Absolutely, yes, sir, most definitely. Special teams is definitely a key part of the game. And like you said, any way that you can get on the field and help the team out. So I just try to go out there, and I treat special teams just like offense. I'm going to go out there and give it my best effort. I know where to align and assign. And I just want to go out there and let my coaches know that they can trust me at any point. Like, wherever they put me, I'm going to give my best effort and try to make a play.
From a small town in Mississippi through Alcorn State, talk about your journey, man, to the NFL.
It's been quite a journey. It's been quite a journey. I mean, like you said, coming from a small town, having to go to junior college, and from junior college going to Alcorn State, but I wouldn't trade it because it really taught me like the definition of hard work and responsibility, having to take what you get, what you have, and make it work. So Alcorn really kind of taught me that, and now just being here, man, I'm blessed. I don't take nothing for granted. So just being here, it's not a coincidence. I feel like it's a testament to all the hard work, and obviously God put me in this position.
CB, how many balls you catch out of that damn jugs machine, man?
I catch before and after practice. So
how many balls?
I'll say probably by the end of the day, at least like 250.
250 balls?
Yeah, about 250.
What's that jug sound, Mike? Foom. Because I'm always like, man, how many balls do you have to catch? Man, we see you. You got the hands. Man, how many balls? And I'm like, so 250 a day. All right.
Right. You have to, you know, stay on top of your craft, because sometimes, you know, like we get in practice and the ball might not come your way as much. So you still want to stay on top of it, make sure you still can catch the ball and focus on the little details, especially when you're tired at the end of practice. First thing you want to do is go in, get you something to drink and chill. But, you know, just if I can focus while I'm tired, I know when I got energy and everything, I'm good to go. So.
Chris Blair with us, guys, showed up on the stat sheet, had a good game against the Lions. How tough is it, though, knowing, man, you got to make the most out of every opportunity? Or is that just, you don't let that get in your head, you just go with the flow?
I really don't think too much about it. That's my mindset regardless, even if I had a solidified spot on the team or not. It's just more so when I go on the field, I'm treating every snap like it's my last, because I know there's so many people that want to be in my shoes and want to be in this position and don't have the chance to. So I just go out there every time I get on the field, I'm going to give my best and give my all to the team.
Before we let you go, tell the people, tell Falcon fans something about Chris Blair that we do not know. What does CB like to do? What's different about you away from this game?
I don't really do too much, honestly, but I can say this.
Uh-oh.
I can't say this. It's nothing crazy what I like to do, but at the end of the day, I can't say I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus.
Okay.
And just what he's been in my life and getting me to this point, I can't do nothing but give him thanks for that. So that's who I am, man.
There's nothing wrong with that, brother. You got to have some faith, no doubt about it. Chris Blair, thank you, brother.
Yes, sir, thank you. Appreciate you.
That is Chris Blair, again, one of the guys that is trying to make the team this year, and hopefully if he continues to show out in the preseason, he'll give himself a good opportunity to do just that. It's something that there's a space for it. There's a need for it. He's a big body. He's a guy that has shown the ability to make good catches on balls. And Michael Penix Jr. laid one perfectly in the breadbasket in the first preseason game. And hopefully we'll see more of that. I'm not entirely sure between him and Casey Washington and David Sills and Drummond. There's a bunch of guys that are competing for just one or two at the most spots. So it's going to be tough, and it's going to be a tough competition going on at the wide receiver position. speaking of tough competitions, how about them Braves last night, Orin? 13-5. It started out well. They came back. And then Spencer Strider, as we talked about, just absolutely imploded.
The Mets ran out of pyrotechnics and fireworks last night because they hit so many home runs.
Yeah.
And they couldn't fire off anymore.
And to top it all off, Pete Alonso ties and then breaks the record for most home runs hit by a Met, passing Daryl Strawberry. You know what's interesting about that? And I'm talking about baseball because we're going to have our buddy Rob Bradford on next. What does he think the Braves should do this offseason in terms of restructuring this team? Were you surprised to hear that the team home run record for the Mets was 253?
Very.
That seems low.
Just goes to show that, like, I don't know, they just can't keep guys there for an extended period of time. But I would thought maybe David Wright, maybe, just because – I think,
but his career was cut short.
He was cut short, like the longest tenured one, but
Piazza,
but you know,
Eric Carter,
kind of in between Piazza, between those that Dodgers run and then the Marlins run. Because
Keith Hernandez wasn't like a prolific home run hitter.
No, Keith had a good. He was a good average, good contact guy, but he wasn't. It's odd. Because you just thought that guys, I guess that's what the Mets sort of have been the last 30-some-odd years. It's just stop gaps for players, not full-time, like 10, 15-year career guys there.
No, and the ones that are, again, just weren't. I mean, you're talking about guys that were good players of their time, but like Carlos Beltran, Carlos Delgado, guys that they brought in, Jose Reyes, those guys weren't hitting, you know, in the amount of time that they were with that organization, 300, 400 home runs. They weren't at that point in their career. Interesting stuff. All right, when we get back, we'll talk to Rob Bradford, Odyssey MLB insider, about what is going down with the Braves. What should they do this offseason to make sure this does not happen again next year? We'll do that next. Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.